Welcome to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio, a show to help you get from where you are to where you truly want to be. Now here's your host of Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen, Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to my show. I hope you're having an incredible day today. Today's show is awesome because one of my very dear friends, as well as colleagues, I'm having on the show today. Her name is Michelle Alva. She is a physical therapist, intuitive energy healer, amongst many other things. And we're going to be looking at understanding how to love and accept our bodies more, looking at different tools and processes to just cultivate more self-love, self-trust, and self-acceptance. So Michelle is an incredible woman here in South Florida with me, and she's one of my personal healers, and she's just really been so instrumental for a lot of women and men in our community here in South Florida to really get in touch with that place of full and total self-acceptance. And now she is branching out to work with people all over the world. I know she's got clients in Europe and Australia. And so I'm just so excited to bring her on the show today. So Michelle, are you there? Welcome.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
How are you, honey?
I'm great, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited to share all these wonderful things that we're going to talk about today.
Beautiful. So before we dive in, I would just love my listeners to know a little bit about you, about your journey, you know, coming into the world of being a healing practitioner, kind of what led you to really do this powerful work. Rewind how many years?
Well, I feel when I was 15 years old, I started working in a vegetarian restaurant called the Unicorn Village. So before I worked there, I was eating cheeseburgers at Burger King and, you know, eating things that I had no idea how they were affecting me. So at an early age, I learned about nutrition and food and started eating quinoa and amaranth and kale. And I really feel the food and just working there and being around people that were more conscious, doing yoga, those things led me sort of to think that that's normal from an early age. And I started yoga when I was 18, and I cried the first time I ever did yoga because I felt so good. And it was feeling good with myself in a way that I had never experienced before. And I just was hooked. I was really addicted to yoga. And that's what helped me get through physical therapy school. And I wanted to help people walk again. That was how I got into physical therapy. And then FIU happened to have a physical therapy program, and I applied, and I graduated when I was 22 years old. So I got really lucky in the earlier parts of my life that I got exposed to different things. So as a physical therapist, I actually didn't like, when I graduated, I think I wanted more to be a yoga teacher than a physical therapist, because I didn't learn anything about energy or the soul, you know, how to therapeutic presence. These things weren't really talked about, the mind-body medicine.
Right.
So I felt that there was missing something in my career. And then I started working in pediatrics when I was 22. And I felt I wasn't able to connect to the children because I wasn't connecting enough in a deeper way. You know, like I would be teaching the parents how to help their baby with head control or doing certain exercises, and I felt intuitively I need to learn something else. So I actually became an infant massage instructor, flew to California, did this week-long training, and it was very healing for me. She asked us, were you touched in a respectful way as a baby? And I started crying, and I felt as though there was a reason why I had to learn about conscious touch, touching communication through touch, and that led me into realizing how human touch, human connection is so healing. And I started to work doing infant massage classes at Mercy Hospital and teaching new mommies how to massage their babies. And I felt so good and learning about how just simply breathing, simple things as breathing consciously with your diaphragm, wishing good intentions on people and touching them in a way where you're communicating through how you touch. I couldn't help it. You know, it was really beautiful, new ways of relating with myself, with my clients. And then when I had a baby, I over-massaged her and I got to experience the magic of our human connection, of our own abilities. So I think that kind of led me to discover healing and how people would start crying, just being with me and releasing emotions that they were holding from simply being massaged by me or guided with these different types of techniques to relax and release. And some people had a lot of pain that they were holding for years that was released in one session. And that's because maybe they let go of resentment towards a loved one or forgiving themselves. So I started realizing, wow, we really do hold our emotions in our tissues. Yeah. And I myself had held pain in my pelvis, in my genitals for about 14 years myself in my own life that I didn't even understand until after I released that pain 14 years later. And that's a whole other story. So in my own body, I discovered, wow, we hold traumas, we hold memories, but why am I not being taught about this? You know, I feel like I'm doing a disservice in a way because I'm not addressing the whole human being. Right. And most people I see now, most of the times, they do have, I would say 90% of my clients have some type of trauma in the past, an unresolved hurt, something that they're holding, like resentment, fear. That's literally when we allow ourselves to feel those things and then using these techniques in the Alva method, they release these things that they've been carrying for years. And they sometimes start crying and they say, where were you? You know, I've been going to all these things for 7 years, the past 7 years, and I could have had this. And then it's interesting because, I mean, I had pain for 14 years and I still didn't have anybody. but I did discover myself.
The pain, because I know this is something that you're moving towards and really looking at the different pain that women have, that men have, but mostly women, working with women. Are you finding that a lot of women who have had any sexual abuse are also, it's kind of connected to vaginal pain?
Well, the thing is, there's many reasons why we have vaginal pain. Like a woman that sits in a chair for 6 to 8 hours a day and crosses her legs, and let's just say she doesn't go to the bathroom when her body wants to, her body's going to create pain, probably from sitting. She's not listening to her body. And then she might be struggling with her finances. Maybe she doesn't feel supported by her husband. So that part of the body, or she has a lot of anger. There's many different reasons why we hold pain. And the beautiful thing is we don't actually have to know why we're holding the pain. We can heal it. That's it. We can heal it. And it's funny because when I work with psychologists that come with pain, they want to analyze everything. They're like, Michelle, why am I feeling this right now? Michelle, I feel like I'm going to cry right now. Michelle. And then I say to them sometimes, like I've said this, I say, can we just shut up and heal right now? Hey, let's just heal. It's like having an orgasm. If you were to say, am I going to have an orgasm now? Am I going to orgasm now? Right. Just orgasm. So that's kind of the same thing that happens with healing.
You know, I think
healing.
Dredging up the stories sometimes just can bring even more pain. And it's like releasing the stories, letting it go, not overanalyzing, not overtalking things is an access. Just heal. Just, you know, I don't know. That's really interesting for you to say that.
You really can. Yeah. And believe me, I've been the biggest drama queen and I've wanted to overanalyze everything. And in a way, I got sick of being myself, literally, that I prayed to God, I don't wish to live with all this drama. I don't want to be analyzing myself. I had this desire because I was so weighed down from my own thoughts that I had like this eureka moment where what if I could put the intention that I'm going to discover easy ways that are going to create major healing with minor effort? And that's sort of the little slogan that I tell my clients. Are you ready to create major healing with minor effort? Because I noticed that we do think that it's going to take years to solve something or to release pain. And that's because like physical therapists usually are seeing their clients for 30 minutes and that's it. I work with my clients for 90 minutes and it sometimes takes 30 to 40 minutes just to get their mind to relax and yeah. then they'll release easier. So if you only see your PT for 30 minutes twice a week, you don't even get to that 40-minute, 50-minute, 60-minute peaceful state where that's where the magic happens. That's where the release just, you know, everybody does it's just incredible. So I think the way that the healthcare model is, I'm not sure that it's actually maximizing our abilities to heal. Even having a psychotherapist for 30 minutes or even an hour, that might not be enough time for that person to feel safe, to be vulnerable and feel comfortable. And so this is why now I work at home. And I mean, I'm also working now at the Carillon, but I do notice there's a big difference when I'm home and I'm working with my clients in my healing sanctuary, as opposed to I'm in a corporate setting. People are different in different environments.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to just witness how I give them some tea in the beginning and we talk, and sometimes it doesn't take much for them to open up and release because they're already feeling at home with themselves, with me, and we are home. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's so interesting how much we hold in. And I think the journey to self-healing, self-love, self-acceptance is letting it out and really finding a space where you can be vulnerable, you can be authentic, you can start sharing whatever it is that you've been internalizing. I think that's such like the very first steps of loving yourself is being able to talk about it and say where we're not loving ourselves or say where we're frustrated or, you know, feeling unworthy or whatever it is, and speaking that. And then you realize how ridiculous it is. And you're like, oh my God, I am amazing. I am, you know, wonderful. I'm perfect just as I am. But when we don't speak it and we just let that loop go round and round and round in our heads, it's so hard for us to start the healing process. I wonder what kind of different things do you like to prescribe for people that are, you know, at the very beginnings of a self-healing journey of, you know, really getting to a place of loving and accepting themselves just as they are?
The first thing I do is I say your best friend is your body, and your body is on your side. Because a lot of times people think, why is my body failing me? Why are my knees buckling on me? Why is my low back failing me? So the first thing I say is, did you know that your body loves you so much that it's actually attempting to communicate wisdom through the pain, through the suffering? There's something that it wants you to change in your life. So this whole perception that everything is happening to bring us closer to our authentic self, I really like that concept of believing that, because then we're not going to hate the back pain. Instead, we're going to say, oh, wow, I'm so blessed. My back is trying to get my attention. I'm going to address this. I'm not going to wait till I have tingling down my legs and I'm numb. The minute I have some type of tension in my back, I'm going to go to some specialist, you know, whether it's a PT, whether it's a massage therapist, a chiropractor, my doctor. I'm going to do something to say, I'm listening to you. And I think it's important for us to accept and be gentle with ourselves and not judge what's happening, not criticize it, not think that we're broken. So any negative thought we have is actually making our pain worse. So the way that we relate with our pain, that's the first place, even before we work on the pain, that I feel is important to address. And life is happening for us. So if we start to say, wow, you know, my cancer, what did I learn from my cancer? What can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Or a headache, you know, what are the different causes? You know, whether it's maybe some people just need to hydrate more and that'll take away the headache. Or maybe I'm not meditating enough. Maybe I'm not having enough fun and I'm too much in my head and I'm too tense at work. You know, maybe I need to work on my body mechanics and my posture at work, and that's causing my headache. So the nice thing is to first of all say there's something positive about this pain. That's right. Instead of, ugh, I have a headache again, because that's just going to make it worse.
Yeah. And then we're going to feel helpless.
Yes. And like I was working with this woman, she has pain in her pelvic floor area, and she was really not sure if this work would help her. And we worked, she's in another continent, and I worked with her on the phone, And she was blown away at how in the first session, she got rid of 50% of the pain in just 1 hour. She couldn't believe it. So I actually talked to her this morning, and she literally said, "Michelle, I don't have any more pain. I do have a little bit of spasm, but I don't have pain." And she said, "I can't believe that one call." So she sounded like a whole different person. And I told her, "Wow, congratulations. Don't you feel powerful?" She said to me, "Yes." And she then said, "I'm kind of scared that the pain's going to come back, but I'm keep doing what you told me to do, and I'm not letting the fear get me because I know that's going to make it worse."
Yeah.
So now she relates with herself in an optimistic way, in a positive way. She's like coaching herself to do the breathing technique, this E3 breathing method that I teach all my clients. Anybody that works with me is going to learn that breathing, the sniffs, and do it every day. Do it when you need to. It's like flushing the toilet. We flush the toilet every time we go poopy. So when we have our emotional poops, we flush it with our diaphragm. That's what I tell my, you know, everything has to do with caquita. Because we make a lot of shit, you know, with our minds. We create a lot of crap. And I know for me, like, I would make up stories about why someone's not calling me back, you know, in a relationship, or make up stories that aren't true. And I'm creating all this poopy. And then I have all this stuff I have to flush from my own drama that I create. So this is where I tell my clients, you know, we're not going to develop codependency here. I'm going to teach you how to activate your own inner healer, because we're always healing ourselves. And this is what gets me really excited, is when people take the driver's seat. Because I think there's just way too much of us thinking that somebody else knows us better than we do, and that's not empowering. So this is a whole new way of working with people, even as a physical therapist, that is all about empowering the client and giving them the tools in the easiest ways possible so that they can be their own expert at inner healing. Imagine a world where we are the first source that we go to, and we create peace and harmony in our body tissues. Everything is going to reflect that in our planet. So this is where I get really excited about what's possible. You know, this woman over there in Australia, now I told her, teach people these techniques, because that's how you learn the most. And she wants to work with pregnant women and be a midwife. So I'm like, wow, this is so exciting. She gave birth to a new her in the session, and now she's going to be inspiring women that are pregnant to birth a whole new way of being pregnant, you know, where you can be your own source of tension release. So I'm excited for her.
I love that. And, you know, I have a tool that I think is right in alignment with what you're talking about, you know, the first acknowledgement of where the pain is, and then thanking the pain and saying, you know, thank you for kind of turning on to let me know that something needs attention. There's something that I did at Kripalu, which is a great retreat center up in the Berkshires. And what they had us do was lay down on the floor, and our listeners can try this, maybe not right now, but at some point, you just lie down on the floor and you just start scanning your body all the way from your tips of your toes, through your legs, your knees, the upper legs, your torso, your chest, your arms, your neck, your face. You do that 3 times really slowly. And then you land your attention on any part of your body that is feeling pain, the most pain. And you just kind of stay with that for a moment and see if you can notice if there's any textures or colors or names that are attached to this particular pain. And you just kind of be with that for a moment. And then say it's your heart, say it's your ankle, you know, it would be a letter that is written from your pain to you. So it would be my ankle. "Dear Jen, I am so swollen right now. I'm so grateful," this is true, "that you have traveled all over the US, you know, helping your trainers, getting this program out there and being of service to everybody, but I need to rest. Is there any way that you could put me up today? Is there any way that you can get a massage and drink lots of water and rehydrate so that the swelling goes down? I love you so much, but I need help." And there is all the wisdom of what my ankle needs, and I just tap directly into it. Have you ever tried techniques like that with actual physical writing from body parts?
I haven't done it with writing, but that's reminding me of massaging those parts that you want to love more.
Self-massage, yes. Mm-hmm.
And putting the word love, unconditional love, you could see it on your hand, and then you're painting that feeling of unconditional love onto your body parts.
Yeah. And what do you suggest for people who, you know, have had weight gain and they're looking in the mirror, or even the opposite, you know, that they don't feel that they're heavy enough or that they're too heavy, and that they're looking in the mirror and really hating their bodies and they're angry at themselves, and you know, what do you do for stuff like that? What are good tools to start working with?
Well, the very first thing is your thoughts literally stress you out. So if you don't like your body, if you don't feel beautiful, or if you're disgusted with your thighs, let's just say, I tell my clients, you're literally going to be secreting the stress hormone. And the stress hormone is a hormone that likes us to keep our weight on. So if we want to lose weight, we want to actually love our body. And that's where I say, what do you love, or who do you love? Think of something or somebody that you love. Bring in that feeling of love.
Mm-hmm. And transpose it onto your thighs.
And then breathe in. Yeah, and then breathe in with that breathing technique. Expand that feeling into your thighs. Yeah, we're doing a love transplant, literally. Because that's how we shift from the feeling. This is something when we want to attract, as you know, Jennifer, you know this. You teach this in your work, to have the feeling as though it's already happened. Just like you taught us at the retreat, I remember,
right,
in Costa Rica.
So manifesting, but just kind of putting
feel as though you already published that Hay House book. I remember you telling us this. Feel as though you already published that Hay House book. I'm already on tour. You know, I'm looking at my book. I'm feeling as though, wow, I did it. You know, I accomplished this book. It's going to help so many people. So you can feel as though, how would it feel like if I did already love my body? If I already love my thighs, what would it feel like? And that's how I would, you know, you're going to create this new movie where you're loving your body. What would it feel like? And then people say, oh my God, I have no idea. I don't know what it feels like. And like, I might be massaging somebody's thighs while they're doing this. This is in the healing work. And that would cause them to have that feeling even more easier. And then there's lavender aromatherapy. There's music on. So the feeling is going to be more accepted to love than if they were just doing it by themselves, you know? And then they, like, if they say, I don't know, I have no idea, I really don't love my thighs, then I say, okay, well, what do you feel right now with your thighs? So that's the first place where we start, the true authentic feelings that you have towards yourself. We want to acknowledge that. So they'll say, I'm really disgusted with myself. I just can't believe I let myself go this far. You know, I just think about how much work it's going to take to rebuild to lose weight or to... So then that's a part of the healing, is to own it. Own your feelings, feel your feelings, accept what you're saying. Because sometimes we don't want to say, I'm disgusted with my thighs, because we're ashamed. And we don't go around telling people that, hey, did you know I'm disgusted with my thighs? But actually being in your truth about yourself to yourself is the way out, is the way to begin the healing process. Just like in the Alcoholics Anonymous, they say, you have to actually acknowledge that you're an alcoholic to start the healing.
Right.
So that's the same concept, where I'm going to just acknowledge that I really am upset with my muffin top or my love handles, my flapjacks. You know, I'm just going to acknowledge. And then sometimes people start laughing about it. And then it just evaporates, because they've acknowledged instead of hiding it with shame.
Right, right.
It's really amazing. And then in a split second, they'll just release tears, or they'll chuckle, you know, something will happen that causes them to have a shift. And then we'll keep working on reinforcing the new, how would you like to feel? So it's not about just feeling good. It's about, well, what are you feeling? How does it feel? And then feel it, you know, just breathe into it. Because sometimes people say, I don't know what I'm feeling, because they don't feel. So that's where this work, you can just breathe into wherever you're not liking yourself. So you can breathe into your muffin top, put your hand there. You can breathe into your thighs, put your hand there. So you're really making it a physical activity, but it's also an emotional, energetic activity. And that's where it's really powerful, because it's not just in your mind. You're actually touching those parts and reconnecting physically, emotionally, And then being in your truth, that's where the spiritual happens. Because basically, yes, we all are being authentic, being your true self, being real with yourself and really honest with yourself is the most empowering healing technique. But yes, how do you do that? You see, so people will be like, well, how do I become authentic? You know, you're telling me that when we're whole and we accept all of ourselves, just like Debbie Ford created the shadow effect. It's all about embracing the parts that we don't like, right?
Right.
So you can actually touch the parts that you don't like, breathe into the parts that you don't like, and in simply being there for yourself, you're telling yourself, you're worth it. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be there with you, even if I don't feel good. And something I tell my parents are, do you love your child when they feel good only, or do you love them no matter what they're feeling? Like if right, they get a tummy ache, or if they're angry with you, do you still love them? And parents are like, of course I still love my child, right, no matter what.
Same thing.
But
same
if my back hurts, you know what? I'm not going to love myself.
Wrap this thought up, because we're going to take a little break right now. And when we come back,
okay,
we'll continue talking about loving our bodies more.
Awesome. Okay.
Thanks, Michelle.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you, the enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Jennifer Grace. And I just want to mention this week is the week before our next Creative Insight Journey and Creative Action Journey classes start back up again. So if you're interested in taking one of these powerful 8-week journeys, you can go to jennifergrace.com. And we not only have it online, but we also have it live in 12 different cities. So you can check out in a city near you. So today on my show, if you're just coming back in, I have Michelle Alva, physical therapist and intuitive healer, and we are talking about our bodies. So Michelle, welcome back.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello. So let's talk about some, you know, I love this, you know, as we were talking about just like sending love to your body, but also the feeling like, you know, incorporating this manifesting into the body and manifesting the healing, manifesting feeling good. And for some people, that's so difficult, you know, when they are in pain or when they're, you know, in that state of self-loathing. And, you know, that's the tricky
part. That's where we can I just be in self-loathing right now? Sometimes people will say, I'm so angry at myself. I hate myself. Mm-hmm. So a technique I've learned is to literally just say that to yourself a bunch of times until it doesn't have any power over you anymore. For example, I'm so angry at myself. I'm angry at myself. I'm so angry at myself. And then you start thinking about how angry you are at yourself. And you might even, I'm so angry. Or you might want to punch a pillow. Or so however, just, I mean, don't hit yourself, of course, but you might have to, actually. I don't know. Whatever works. So the thing is, you literally are, it's in a way, it's like farting out gas. I know it sounds funny how I come back to the poops and the farts, but you literally, like, if we walk around holding in all our gas all the time, it's there. So like, if you ate a lot of beans and you're walking around and you keep holding it in, it's just going to amplify. You're going to be more aware of it. So in a way, you're like releasing the gas of anger, or you're releasing the gas of self-hatred or low self-worth. And then once you discharge, it dissipates. It doesn't have power over you. It's amazing. Some people might say, oh, well, I don't want to tell myself I hate myself. But what if you do? What if that's your truth in this split second? Own it. This is what I'm trying to say is, wherever you're at, be there. Give yourself fully the acceptance of yourself being in that shitty place. Mm-hmm. And in that being there, you're actually releasing its charge. It's really amazing. And I'm so happy that I am aware of this, because people are releasing things that they've been holding for years because they've been hating themselves, or they judge themselves that they judge themselves. You see what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And I love that, just like acknowledging it, like that first step of like, we're always trying to say, no, I shouldn't say this to myself. No, say it. And then it's almost like you get, how ridiculous is this that I am saying this to myself? Like when you say it out loud and you say it loud and you're, you know, in that space, and then you're like, I don't really hate myself, you know, and it just gives you permission
after a while,
to move through it.
Yeah. And after a while, it's almost as though we start to kind of laugh at ourselves. And then we don't take ourselves so seriously anymore.
Yeah.
It's really amazing how it really does happen. And it only happens in seconds. It's not like a 3-hour process of saying, I hate myself.
Right.
Because your body's just saying, thank you for being honest.
Yeah.
Thanks for being honest with me. And then it doesn't feel good to be like that with ourselves. And in that split second, that release is actually oxytocin, the love hormone. Being honest is such a powerful practice, and being honest is being authentic. So like I said before, we're coming back to our most clearest, purest, honestest form when we heal.
Yeah.
When we release, all that's left is your pure self. And that's the name of my company, is Pure Self. So we're coming back to that state of what's really there. And when we discover is that I'm not my emotions. I'm not my thoughts. I'm this amazing being that simply exists, and I'm no longer going to be persecuting myself, because it really doesn't feel good. I feel
right.
So good right now releasing that, you know, like we lift the gray cloud over us, the veil of illusion that we've told ourselves from all those false things that we heard when we were kids. basically everything we are is what we heard when we were up to 7 years old. You know, that's our subconscious programs.
Right.
So that's where it's really fascinating. That's where the energy psychology work comes in to balance the body work. And it's interesting how just simply changing our beliefs, our perceptions about ourselves, causes us to have an enlightenment experience. It's really amazing.
I love all of the release work that you do, the surrendering, the letting go. And, you know, I did a lot of studying around, you know, trauma and how, you know, our muscle holds memory. And when we have traumatic events as children, whether that was somebody telling us we weren't good enough, or it was emotional or physical or sexual abuse, you know, if we don't deal with that, it's going to manifest into pain and into self-loathing, and our muscle holds this memory. And I, you know, I'm a firm believer of all types of modalities. And I think talk therapy is great to just have the cognizance of what happened. But I think that it's really the healing work that allows you to release that trauma out of your muscles, so that you're not holding on to it consciously and unconsciously, mostly unconsciously.
We hold our things about the
work that you do. And I was with my friend, I'm maybe not going to say her name. I was with a friend of mine in San Francisco who was like, I want to work with her. I want to work with her. She's actually thinking about doing a trip here, because she can work with you on the phone. I told her that, but she might also want to do in person, both. Mm-hmm. And I just kept on saying, you know, we do these like all these exhales and all this breath release and crying release. And it's just so freeing. You really literally can work it out and through your body.
It's like farting. I swear, it's an emotional fart. That's what it is. I mean, I really want people to get this. I know we've all farted on the call. So you're literally doing it, and you're doing it through your mouth. And when you do this, it's like having an orgasm for the people that have had orgasms. Or like when you breastfeed, that's another one. It's another letting go. Like the body lets go with tears, milk. We eject fluids when we orgasm, when we breastfeed, when we cry. That's just physiology. So we have inside of us this releasing hormone, and it's oxytocin. And isn't it interesting that tears, breastfeeding, orgasming, all of those, you need love for all of those. Like, I look at everything from a science perspective. I can't help it.
Right.
So having an orgasm is a way of loving yourself. Crying, having a good cry, is a way of loving yourself. Breastfeeding is a way of loving yourself. And how many of us aren't even doing those things? Some of us don't let ourselves cry.
Right.
Some of us have never had an orgasm. Yeah. And I don't know about the breastfeeding, you know, that's a question mark for people, but like these simple things that we're supposed to be doing, we're designed to do them. We're not doing them because we're so stressed out. You have to have low stress levels to be able to orgasm. You can't have a lot of stress hormone floating around to breastfeed. It's really interesting. So the first place for my clients is for them to feel safe, supported, and as peaceful as possible. That's why I use a heated table that vibrates, and there's music, and there's aromatherapy, and they're on that posture, the E3 posture, that is extension, elongation, and expansion. And that's the opposite of contraction and holding. So it's not just about the, it's about position your body open so that you will receive more easily the releasing. So basically, we're becoming experts at releasing. And then you look younger, you're happier, you start orgasming, and you get great sleep. Yeah, I had a woman that said to me, oh my God, Michelle, we didn't even do anything for that, but I had the most amazing orgasm, and I never orgasmed before. She saw her husband like the next day, he came back from some trip. And
right.
I remember that story that she couldn't believe. Like, she's like, what did you do to my libido? You know? And it was just because she learned how to release, and she learned that it was okay to make sounds. And she was really tight. She had some thyroid problems, I remember. And a lot of women are not letting their voice be fully expressed.
Right.
So there's so many benefits to doing this very simple approach. It's actually awakening their libido, helping their sleep, their digestion. It's a multi-beneficial experience to release. Really interesting, I think. I'm fascinated by it.
I am too. And, you know, I really want to learn a little bit more about the new work that you're doing, because I think it's something that's not so comfortable to talk about. I think a lot of women are experiencing it. They don't tell people, they don't know what to do about it. And that's all about, you know, the vaginal pain. So
yes.
If you could share a little bit about, you know, how a woman, is that happening in sex? Is that happening just when you're sitting down? What can they do about it? You know, and give a little education about what's possible, because I think so many women are struggling with this and they don't think that there's anything that could be done about it.
There's a statistic out there. I learned pelvic floor physical therapy, and they told us that 1 out of every 8 women, I believe, or 1 out of every 7 literally have some type of pelvic pain, whether it's pain around the external parts of the vagina or internally pain around their cervix or pain when they are making love or pain in their anal area. So we hold also emotions in our genitals. And it's interesting because the minute we're stressed out, the last thing on our mind is to have sex or to have a meal. So physiologically, blood is not going to flow to your genitals when you're stressed out. So there's a part of it that is physiological like that. But let's just say that you're having sex with someone that you're not really totally excited about, and you're having a lot of sex with that person just because you want to have sex. So on some level, your body is maybe rejecting that person, or we're in a relationship where we're not totally, completely satisfied with our partner, and we're still sleeping with them. We're still married to them.
Right.
And so there's a part of us that is feeling stressed out. If you're resentful towards your partner and you're having sex with your partner every day or every other day, your body literally is stressed out because you're not really in your truth. You're holding emotions that you're not really giving yourself the release that making love is really supposed to be. So if you think about it, you're having sex with somebody, you're not really that excited about them. So your genitals are going to be tighter.
Mm.
So some of us can't even have penetration. Some of us don't orgasm. Some of us have painful cervix when our partner goes deeply inside us. It hurts. So can you imagine? But then let's just say that the woman wants to satisfy her husband, so she just kind of takes it, even though it hurts.
Right.
So she's doing it for him. There's a lot of this happening where we're giving up ourselves and not really listening once again to what our body's telling us, because maybe we don't want to admit that this partner's not, it's not really working. We're married, you know, we're supposed to be married, have our kids, and so we want to do everything right. But then maybe authentically the relationship, you've outgrown it, or maybe something needs to shift in the relationship with yourself so that you can perceive your partner in a healthier way, or maybe you need to talk to him. And so the vagina is going to still like give you this message, there's pain down here, like, can you please listen? So that's where this type of work, where I'm trained to assess the muscle layers. Sometimes it's the external vagina that hurts. Sometimes it's the deepest layer. Sometimes, for example, women with incontinence, after having a baby, they pee when they cough or sneeze. So incontinence is another quiet problem that a lot of women have, because it's not something we talk about. Hey, do you leak? You know, how's your vagina doing? But in reality, that's your foundation. And if you don't feel safe in your vagina, in your pelvic floor, that's what holds your organs in your body. So some women have prolapse of their uterus because they never do their physical strengthening to that part, or they're very over contracted in that part and they have chronic pain. And that's an area that I love working with women, because I'm very comfortable talking about it. And the fact that I also know how to belly dance, and I've worked a lot with people with trauma, there's different, like, I can experience pleasure in my pelvis, and I also know how to experience a lot of pressure, pain, and emotional weight because of my past. You know, what happened to me when I was 14, my first sexual experience, I didn't even know I was having sex. You know, this older guy, I found myself in his home, and I just didn't say anything. I didn't want to be like the goody two-shoes and get him in trouble, or I really didn't know what was happening. I was really nervous, and I just froze. And I was really ashamed afterwards because I didn't say anything. I just let him, I was submissive. And I think I really hated myself internally at age 14. I felt ashamed and I felt like I was going to go to hell, that God didn't love me anymore because I was raised Catholic. And I couldn't tell my mom. So there was, I carried this kind of like a curse inside me. And I had painful sex literally till I was 28 years old. Oh. And I didn't even know I was having pain, that sex wasn't painful. I just thought it was painful. I didn't even talk to anyone about this. You know, it was just my poor ex-husband.
Just the first time, Michelle. Just the first time.
Just the first time. So, yeah. And I mean, I'm on a rampage now. I wanna be a catalyst for women. I wish for all women on the planet to feel pleasure, lightness, and lots of love and nurturance in this very important part of our body that sometimes we say, oh, you know, I'm busy. I just don't put any attention to my vagina because we don't see it. You know, so I think it's really important. And I personally feel delicious. I feel beautiful. I feel really juicy, and I get excited over my own abilities to be able to be juicy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because I know what it feels like to be the Sahara Desert, super dry, you know.
So right.
I'm amazed at how I've changed, and I even think I look younger now, and I'm 42, because I've literally made peace with these parts of my body that I was so ashamed at. I wasn't loving, and my vagina is a lot happier that now I'm not ashamed of it. You know what I mean? And I treat my body as a temple, a sacred vessel that is the home of my soul. So the way that I even treat myself is different than just, ugh, you know, it hurts, I got to do this again. And I feel our bodies are designed for pleasure perfectly. And how many of us are actually tapping in on that and not feeling guilty or ashamed about it, because sometimes we do have religious beliefs that get in the way of really enjoying what nature created on purpose for us. It's funny because somebody said to me that her husband, I was at a party and her husband said, she looks like she's a very sexual woman about me. And I said to him, I said to her, because then I gave her a session and she's Orthodox Jewish. And I said to her, you know what? It takes one to know one.
Right.
About her husband. Like, if he's noticing that about me. And I said to her, you know, I think we're all horny. I'm just actually accepting my horniness. Because if we weren't horny, why would we be reproducing? I think it's natural for us to be horny. We're just not owning it enough. And I mean, if we weren't horny, how would this population keep existing? So let's just own it. Women are sexual. Men are sexual. There's nothing bad about that. And can I really celebrate the creative, sexual, sensual, sexy being that I'm put on this earth to be? And that doesn't mean I'm going to go sleep with 20 people. You know,
right.
The way that I view it is I'm sacred, I'm special, I'm creative. And I mean, I'm at the point in my life where I only wish to share this deliciousness with someone that's going to mirror back that same deliciousness, you know, in a relationship. That's where I'm at. But I do feel a lot of us, we don't even treat ourselves as sacred or precious. And then we wonder why we're not orgasming. We're not feeling connection.
Right.
And there's something to say about having a deeper feeling with yourself. We will attract a different partner and we'll attract a different experience. And that's where I think the orgasm, it is a very deeply emotionally releasing experience to have an orgasm. Sometimes women cry because that is a release of emotions. And that's the beautiful part where you can cry in your orgasm. Don't hold back your tears and embrace that you're a human being that is releasing, and everything's going to release, not just fluids, but emotions too. And that's why I think it's nice to have a partner that can hold space for us, because it is a deep experience.
Yeah.
And
it is.
Sometimes I think, you know, we talk about this release body work, but I tell my clients, I ask them, are you orgasming enough during the week? Because that's another form of release, you know? And sometimes I think as a whole population, I don't think we're making orgasm a priority, whether it's orgasm with yourself or orgasm with your partner. But I really do believe that we have these natural mechanisms of emotionally healing that we're not tapping into enough. So everybody out there, make love today, have your orgasm, at least, you know, once a day would be wonderful, you know. There's a lot of great benefits to that, and yeah, feel very connected to that experience with yourself. It's beautiful, it's intimate, and it's magical if you can bring yourself to let go of whatever judgments you have. Right. I mean, I didn't masturbate until after I was divorced, and I was with somebody for 20 years of my life, and I judged masturbation because I was raised Catholic. I'm just being really honest here. And when I orgasmed for the first time in my life, a year after my divorce, I started crying so much because I thought, this is awesome. How can I have not done this in my life? Like, I could have been doing this more often. So that was the funny thing about my first orgasm to myself. And I just, at that point, I felt so much more sacred and beautiful and soulful that I just said, I'm not going to be ashamed. Because I happened to meet sex therapists after my divorce, this woman, Sanjaya Kenya, and she said to me, you're such a goddess, you teach belly dance. What kind of toys do you have for yourself, you know? And I was looking at her like, what? What is she talking about? She's like, don't you masturbate? She just asked me, you know, it was so funny. And she said, oh my God, honey, we got to talk, you know, you need to get yourself a good vibrator. And it was just really funny how she came into my life. And then this other woman, Natalie Hodges, and she literally sells sex toys, and these women came into my life like angels, giving me approval, that, like, saying, yes, you can pleasure yourself, you're not dirty, and why aren't you doing it, you know? Don't wait till you have a partner. You actually will attract a more balanced, you know, partner if you are orgasming yourself. You'll attract somebody that orgasms too.
Right. I just want to say something to you. I really appreciate how comfortable you are with talking about everything that we've talked about today. And I think, you know, that's, if you're not comfortable, then you go to somebody who's not completely comfortable. It's just a debacle. And I just love how you are so free with language, with this, like nothing's a big deal. And so, you know, when somebody comes to you, it's not a big deal anymore. It's like you already take 90% of whatever shame that they are experiencing just by you being so comfortable with it. And I just really wanted to acknowledge that that's not an easy thing to do and to be. Yeah. And that's why I think you've been so successful and you will continue to be so successful. And, you know, our show is almost wrapped up, and I really would love for my listeners to know different ways that they can work with you. And I know you have an incredible website with lots of cool stuff on there. So if you could share a little bit about, we've got about 2 minutes left, of how people could work with you and any courses you have coming up or one-on-one healing sessions, how you work that would be great.
Well, I would love to offer everyone to go today and get a free gift from me to you. It's called Empower Your Center and Ignite Your Soul's Joy at michellealva.com. That's a first quick and easy way. And you can listen to this 20-minute audio. I love it. It's all about the solar plexus. It's all about empowering our belly and loving our belly, but then also addressing the emotional belly. So the part of us where we manifest and we feel confident. And a lot of us don't like our tummy. So that's why I put that out as a free gift. So do that. You just put your email there. Another way is we can work long distance, whether it's through Skype or on the phone. I do phone healing sessions, and if anybody has any questions, they can feel free to contact me at michelle@michellealva.com. And I'm open to talking to people, anybody that wants to get some more information. And if you want to schedule a one-on-one, I also travel, you know, I'll go up north, or I'm open to traveling. You know, that's something else that I want to do. If people have like a group of women that want to do a healing group. And I know, Jennifer, we've been talking about creating a retreat together.
Yes.
So I'm a resource out there. I want to travel more. Like I'm going to go to New York in a couple weeks. And so if people are up in New York, people are in South Florida, California is another place that I'm interested in traveling. And then I'm open, you know, I'm open to whatever the universe brings. And, the other thing is I've created a bunch of meditations that are at my website at michellealva.com. So you can just look through that. There's one called Let Go and Grow. There's one to heal the heart after a breakup. There's another one for forgiveness, to embody forgiveness, because I think that one's a hard one for us. And I've created programs online that people can download and pay online, and then it's yours. There's one for the chakras. It's called Fear to Freedom, How to Transform Fear to Freedom. And then I have another one called Sexy Sacred Sensual You, and that's a 30-video program that literally will connect you more to your sexy parts, your sensual parts, awesome, and your sacred parts.
Awesome.
And then lastly, I have Jumpstart Emotional Weight Loss, which is all about kickstarting that emotional release system. And that one is on my website also. So I have those three different online programs that people can pick and choose. And that's enough, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Jennifer.
On the show today. I love and adore you. And
thank you for having me.
Thank you all for listening. This has been Jennifer Grace, and this is as real as it's going to get.